All right, well, here we go in the Corner Lounge tonight. A special two for the road with a couple of tracks from They Might Be Giants. The Corner proud to welcome They Might Be Giants back to town. They're kicking off their tour in Charlottesville at the Jefferson Theater tonight, and we've got John and John back in the studio with us. How's
Hello.
It going, guys?
Hello. It's the first of 64 shows.
It's a year.
Yeah, we're going to play we're going to get to Europe. We're getting back to Amsterdam, where historically we are unliked. We hear the magazine that really hated us the most has gone out of business, so maybe we've got a much better chance this time.
We can have a triumph.
Is it just a press thing, or have you really had
that experience?
Well,
it was basically the Rolling Stone of Amsterdam sort of declared war on us in like 1991 or something. So enough of these guys, please, no more. I think they're sincere. Sincere people.
Well, and that brings up a thought of, do you remember the bad reviews maybe more than the good ones?
Oh, you only remember bad reviews.
Well, I thought we'd play one off the new album. This one, we've been playing the single, I Like Fun, is out on Friday, of course. I assume you might have a few copies at the show tonight.
Correct. Yep.
Very good. And anything you want to say about this song or the making of the album?
The song is part of a cycle of songs on this that we discovered after the fact are kind of death related. But we're not unhappy people. We just, for some reason, we came out with a lot of death tinged material. So this one is, another angle on that topic.
I Left My Body, brand new They Might Be Giants, the album I Like Fun, coming out Friday, or you could pick up a copy tonight at the big show at the Jefferson. They're kicking off their tour here in Charlottesville.
Bootlegs.
Yeah.
We're going to be selling them off the back of the trailer. $5.
John and John joining us, and they'll choose some songs for us, a special My Corner playlist coming up. So thanks, you guys, for doing that. Some very cool selections.
Thank you. It's exciting to get to be a make-believe DJ.
Have you ever done any kind of like syndicated shows or like special appearances?
John
Flansburgh like
has a recurring Spotify playlist.
Which is fun. It's a nice way to sort of get that thing. Although I've probably crossed the 12 playlist mark now, and all of a sudden I feel much less like I have a million original ideas. Like when I first started doing the playlist, I was like, this is, man, I got this down. I got so many cool angles on this stuff. And now I'm sort of like, maybe I should make this a two-part playlist because I don't want to blow it all. But yeah, it's fun. It's just a way to kind of introduce people. There's one playlist on Spotify that I put together that's actually the original versions of all the songs we've ever covered. Over the 30 plus years that we've been, doing songs. It's not like we've done a million covers, but we do a cover every couple of years or so, some kind of guilty pleasure or something else. I mean, the Istanbul's a cover. A lot of people don't realize. So when people, it kind of blew a lot of people's minds to hear the originals. And in a lot of cases, the originals have something about them that's, super exciting on their own. We're just riding their coattails.
Yeah, we did a trivia question actually about the George Harrison song "Got My Mind Set on You." I always forget that that's a cover.
Oh yeah, too. Is, and it's funny because it's a rock and roll song, right? It's a much older. It's from the 50s. It's not even.
Yeah, it has almost like a calypso sort of. Yeah. Feel to it. I don't know anything about the guy who did it originally, but I guess it was one of his favorite songs, and then 30 some years later, he ended up covering it or whatever.
And it sounds exactly like a George Harrison song,
Except there's no diminished chords in it. But other than that, it is exactly in the mold. He makes it his own.
Well, and talk about, first off, I wanted to let folks know you brought back the Dial-A-Songs concept, or maybe let folks know what that's all about and how you've kind of...
We're just posting a song every week. It's the first few months. It's every other week it's going to be a song off the new album, and then it'll be sort of off to the races as much as we can hold on to the songwriting production. But we actually have sort of banked 30 songs so far for the year, so I think we're good till August.
Okay. Right. And then we got to start writing furious new songs.
That's when the wheels fall off the bus.
All right. So that's where the break in the touring comes from, to get some more Dallas songs up there. Very good.
That's the only reason.
Well, and I was wondering, too, you guys have won a couple of Grammys over the years, and one of the artists that you've picked for your playlist coming up is sort of notorious for winning Best New Artist after she had been in the industry for a while. But did you attend the ceremony? Do you pay attention to all of that? Or
we were nominated 3 times. We won twice. I
thought it was the other way around, actually. No, that was a joke. Right.
What was the, it's fun. There's like a rehearsal dinner or like a nominee dinner the night before where everyone who's nominated, basically there's like a cocktail party and you just sort of meet all these people. You might meet some of the people you're up against, but basically you just meet a bunch of musicians from some pretty far flung.
Which, out of five of everybody there is not going to win. So you're in good company if you don't win, because it's just like a bunch of people who are like, yeah, I'm flying back home tomorrow.
Yeah. It's also funny. I mean, people talk about how there are too many categories for the Grammys, but when you think about the entire world of music and all the things that are out there, there actually aren't. I mean, I would say
it's really that there's too much music. I think that's
exactly.
It's not that there's too many Grammys.
I mean, I would say it was probably a good idea that they stopped the children's spoken word category, which I'm not sure how that slipped by.
Right.
That seems like gerrymandering to me. it was a really interesting experience, and it's super, it's super fun to win. And when people say it's not, they're lying.
We're talking with John and John of They Might Be Giants in the Corner Lounge before the show at the Jefferson tonight. And how about an old favorite? Any particular ones?
We're going to the number one most requested track, Birdhouse in Your Soul, because that's an easy, it's just easy.
We're pandering.
Exactly. We're pandering.
They Might Be Giants. 106.1 The Corner in the Corner Lounge. And John are going to stick around and do a My Corner playlist. They chose some excellent songs for us. So you'll hear them take over the airwaves in just a bit. And of course, the show is tonight at the Jefferson. Just another final question or two here before we let you go.
Question for you. When people do the Corner playlist,
yeah,
is there an awkward thing where they choose their own songs and you're like,
don't think anybody's done that yet, but yeah.
That is a thing. You're working with a higher caliber
I feel like it's come up in other things like that we've done. We're like,
well, sometimes they suggest it. People suggest it, though, and that feels sort of immodest because then you're sort of like, you've got to announce yourself. It's just
right.
Like,
here's my favorite song by me.
Right. I don't know.
Well, and of course, you've done several kids' albums over the years and kind of catered to the younger crowd a little bit. And we carry the Spare the Rock show on the weekends.
Really?
I'm
great.
I'm pretty sure he starts and ends the show almost every time with
Bill Childs.
Bill's great. And last time you guys were here was about 4 years ago, and now I've got an almost 4-year-old kid. So
congratulations.
We've been relating to that whole world much differently than when you were here last.
Well, Spare the Rock is a really progressive show. It's like what he does with it is pretty interesting because it really is like a rock point of view on kids' music. It's not just I don't know. It's a rock show.
Kind of like Rafi and
It reminds you as a parent because, really the parents' concerns are just as important, I think, in those situations where you don't want to listen to particular songs 800 times in a row. So it's important which songs you're going to even allow your kid to be exposed to, I think, to be frank.
Right. And it really is amazing how some of those songs you recognize the artistry of it when you do hear it, 500 times. And
it's like, which you will.
This is pretty incredible how they're able to make this. There's still stuff I'm hearing in these songs that I didn't hear before. Have you guys been offered, Disney projects?
And we had a series of recordings of DVDs we made with Disney.
We spent 10 years working with the mouse. We call him the mouse.
Yes.
he's cool with it.
We joke around with him, he's a very funny guy in person.
Yeah.
He acts really normal in public.
But right.
Hard to get on
the
phone.
He's a total weirdo.
He's like Howard Hughes.
But how does that work when they reach out to you and you kind of are working back and forth? Is there like, do they give you a...
Well, we were lucky because the president of Disney Records kind of stuck his neck out and executive produced us, which meant we had, I think, a lot more freedom than you are normally supposed to have.
Gotcha.
In that situation. That was the only reason why we did it.
And, yeah.
And that made it really fun and interesting for us. I don't think we'd want to do something where we felt like we were being heavily controlled.
But there's also this other aspect that really actually echoed our sort of ascent into the world of like the major label thing, which is that we had sold a ton of records on an indie label. We, you know, most major labels are starting from nowhere, and to walk into, you know, Elektra with like hundreds of thousands of records sold, it's easy. It's a lot easier to sort of say like, well, why don't you just let us do our thing and you guys worry about the, you know, distribution network. And so it's like, it was kind of like that. We had had it, we put out a record, a kid's record on our own, and it had done really well. So it was like, it was a lot easier sell than just kind of trying to figure out. Most of the stuff they do is TV driven. Mm-hmm. So if we didn't have the, and that automatically just kind of sells itself. It's like makes its own gravy. But for us, having the sales behind us was already made it, you know, easy to kind of do the Disney thing. The odd thing about the Disney hookup is it finally got us in like Walmarts, where we've never, in spite of making music for like 25 years, we'd never had a disc in a Walmart or any kind of mainstream exposure like that.
That's wild. We're talking with They Might Be Giants, John and John, here in the Corner Lounge. The show's coming up tonight at the Jefferson. They're going to do a My Corner playlist here in just a bit. And thanks again, guys, for the time. We really appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for indulging us.
Enjoy the tour.
Safe travels. We will. Super safe.